Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about Celestia, a program, but you can look at beyond a program as a sort of resource to sit within the bubble of, I suppose, an organism, I sort of imagine it, with which we learn. So if you can think of yourself as a teacher and your students or the people that you know as sort of a cell or an organism which has actually organelles or little bits and pieces of it, and you work together in terms of sort of a bubble, and the idea is that Celestia is sort of like an organelle which actually gets inside your learning bubble, which is a little bit different from a different idea of resources where you work as a team and a group, and you have these systems in here, and you look at a resource and you use it for a while, then you put it out there, and students work on it, and then they bring the information into you. So often, look, I could even say that Google internet resources, it's just a way of doing things, that the students receive another way of doing things. And now, listen to me for a while, and we'll see if you can get this idea of a sort of bubble environment in which you can pack your technology into it and actually use it. Now, I'm going to try and explain this. Now, look, from my background, I used to automate production lines at Nortel, bringing robots into production lines, and the idea of the actual robots or the reporting, it would become part of the business system, and people would actually think in terms of robots, in terms of the business system, would become part of their culture. And I want to talk about Celestia as a program, an application. It is an app. You can download it as an app, and you can treat it as one of these external resources, sort of like an excursion, something that you look at on the outside of something, or it's something that you can actually embed into the culture of the way that you do things. And it's in it. What it means is that if you use the resource, and people can independently decide to be creative with it, and they can use it to actually communicate with it. So let's try and talk about it, and I'll see if I can get that idea across. Now, just as a sort of an aside, as a podcast, my head's going in different directions. As I've tried to podcast for tutorials, I realise that, certain tutorials in terms of exam questions suited for podcasts, but there are other things where there's actually a more obvious resource to use for podcasts. So as I've been podcasting exams, as I've gone to multiple choices, I've said, look, I've really got to go to YouTube. This is not a podcast event. And then I've got technological problems there about how to program up the YouTube rendering process, which doesn't take a huge amount of time. It's taken me a while to get the podcasts under control. And this is probably an example of where I see this podcasting technology. I see the technology as a know-how, but I'd like a technology to be put into the community. You mightn't be able to follow me. I sort of really understand it from my background of getting training up people and training up the resources, and the actual training and the systems that are used becomes part of the culture rather than an adjunct. So it's sort of like a difference between, it's sort of like skiing. When you go skiing on holidays, you hire the skis, you go on the skis, you have a practice, and there's a sort of a very high thing. But if you're in Norway and you use skis all the time to get around the place, it becomes a different sort of thing. It's sort of like, I suppose, the difference from driving as getting into a go-kart and having a big fun day. It's a really big surprise, and there's measurements and there's prizes, or using a car to get around the place. So let's sort of try and see this more as Celestia, as a sort of an intellectual car to get around the place. And what place is it? Well, it's sort of two places, and I've tried to do this in the last podcast to actually talk about parallel physical experience and the intellectual experience. So the last podcast I did about Jacques Cousteau, who's going down through the Amazon, and he's exploring things, and I myself are exploring books in a holiday house, and it's sort of a similar parallel experience. So I'm going to try and get that across, in that we are really aiming for these parallel experiences where people examine a journey, and they go through a journey themselves as a sort of a nesting of journeys. So I know this is a bit hard to get, and so this is what I'm aiming for podcasts. I'm saying podcasts are very difficult to actually get through a long sequence of ideas, more complex ideas we might be able to get across. So let's stop and think about what Celestia is. Well, Celestia is a program. It's a program, open source program, written by hundreds of people, adding little bits to it. It's suggesting things, and it's been put together, and people have written little codes, and bit by bit, and then they've plugged it into enormous databases together. So it's a thing you can download. It's a piece of software, an application software, and you can go to it and download it, and it becomes a little icon, an application on your desk with a little icon, and you can tap it, and it can launch the program, and it can do various things. And it's been constructed in this community of people. And what it's done is it's constructed a complete three-dimensional virtual galaxy. When I say three-dimensional virtual galaxy, they've taken space probe images, different planets, and wrapped it around the planets, and it's put the planets, coordination of the planets. So the maths of the planet, the data of the planet, is now converted into a real experience. So you can actually fly around the Earth and fly past Hubble Space Telescope. So you can fly out to the Moon, and you can switch on and off different mathematical aspects. So it's a mathematical construct, but you can actually say, oh, look, I want the orbits, I want to speed up time, I want to reduce time, I want to have sun, I want to have shadows and stuff like that. And you can go around it, and like it's got the versions of the app, so it's the galaxy plus the mathematics of where it's going. And you can say, I want to track something. You can actually start to build in the maths. Or if you look at a star, you can look up at the corner and you can see the maths, which has built the star. You can see, but you can see the maths behind it. You can see how hot it is, the temperature, its rotation rate, and all these fabulous, fabulous things. So, what it does do is it does spheres really well. It does. There's other things out in space which are not spherical. Well, obviously you can think of Saturn, and it does the rings of Saturn beautifully well, and it does spacecraft. You can go out in this in a spacecraft, and sort of how can you navigate? Well, you can navigate with your mouse and keystrokes, and basically if you can sort of remember the old keystrokes of the old word processors, there always seem to be keystrokes to do things. There's keystrokes to do this and here. So it's an app. You download, and we're going to talk about something more than just an app, because an app is sort of like the equivalent of that you just give to students and just do a project, and you don't interact with it and you don't communicate with it. It's sort of like, hey kids, we're going out to Eastern Crete, the go-karts, and we're going to do road safety by looking at going around a kart. And I have an enormous amount of fun because it's new and stuff like that, and there's technology there, but it's not something that they take to drive with themselves every day. It's not something that they can't take the go-kart home and actually go around the paddock or invent their own games with it and all that type of stuff. So I'm trying to do it at different levels, and I think this is a great thing of podcasts, being able to talk at different levels. So let's go back again. It is Celestia, and you type in download Celestia, and I think it goes to SourceForge, is a good download site. You download it, and this will take, I don't know, a maximum 20 minutes all up, from when you sit down till when you are actually operating this. So it's a screen showing, I think, initially the sun, and then you move to the Earth, and then you have to know how to move around. And so the most fundamental thing is to maximize the screen. The screen will be a certain size, you say you can maximize it. So it uses a lot of code that people know. So if you want to say, go to, say, Mercury, you press 1, go. If you want to go to Venus, you press 2, G. If Earth, 3, G. Mars, 4, Saturn, 6. And you can actually go to Saturn. And then you can pull out and move, and by pressing Control and various other things as you move the mouse, you can do all these fantastic things. And looking at that, I thought, oh, look, what I'll do is I'll just do a YouTube of me logging on and doing everything like that. Now, of course, what happens is that you've got to have the knowledge of what you, the infrastructure of what you want to do and how it can be applied before you'd actually look at this YouTube and actually go through it. And given that, that you want to do, it's, I was trying to work out why this really didn't work, because it mechanically shows you how, but it doesn't give you the motivation. This gives you the motivation, this overall thing. This is this fantastic thing that you can give to kids, but I want you to think more, bring it inside your interaction with the people. So it's a universe you can move around and look at, and it's incredibly accurate. So if you go, if you press enter and type M31, M31 stands for, I think, Messner objects. It's the before they knew what galaxies were, they said these funny objects, we'll call them Messner. I don't know what they're called, Messner objects. And so a galaxy that are M something. So if you type M31, you can go to Andromeda and stuff like that. Now, there's all sorts of things you can do, how accurate it is. And it is a universe which is ownable and accessible and modifiable and community based. It's in a slightly different space from the Sloan Digital Sky Survey or Google Sky or I think Microsoft Sky. There's all these different sky programs where you can actually go or see all different parts of what we're picking up from Earth. The main difference is that it's three-dimensional and it's easy and it's rich and it's got a whole lot of things. So that's all very good, and people can go up and do the classic project. They can actually go to a place and then photograph it. Well, they can screen grab a section and write a little bit of a story about it, or they can go on a quest here. And ideally, it's good to have Celestia given to various people. Now, as I've gone into Celestia, I've gone in, had success, but I've also had failures. So look, the worst failure, one of the or successes, would be using Celestia to teach a basic thing. So I think one of my more successful Celestias where I've used Celestia to teach what retrograde motion looks like. So that was successful. So it's a problem-based thing. So I people want to understand it, and so you can use Celestia to encapsulate your idea. So it is Celestia, it's used, but there's another process going on. Where it's not been successful is that I've said, look, I want to run a lesson at school. Please, may I have the software on the computer? So all the software's locked down, obviously, because they don't want a student sticking in a USB with a malicious virus or downloading things, or heaven forbid, there's some software which we haven't paid the license for that the students put on a computer and the school's liable for it. So you've got this whole process of where you say, look, Celestia, it's open source, it doesn't cost anything. If it costs anything, there's no way you can get it. So Celestia is free. And then there's this big fanfare, it's rolled out on the computers. And of course, what has always happened is that the rollout of even a simple thing from the internet on the various computers, it only rolls out on 80% of the computers successfully. There's some other software problem which goes, and you do about a thing, you give several months notice, and it's not done, it's not done for the lesson and time, so you delay it and redo it, and then eventually you go and plead and do it, please can you Load it on. Or can you allow the students to load it on? And no. Eventually get on, so it's on finally. And then you go in with another class and it's been wiped off. Oh, well, we haven't made it a permanent image. And so this happens 3, 4, 5 years in a row. The same thing happens of loading Celestia and losing it and stuff like that. And yes, you can use Celestia to encapsulate a problem and go ahead. So I use Celestia because it's basically got the Hertzberg-Russell diagram inside it to do where the stars are. So it uses the Hertzsprung-Russell diagram data or the star data, and you can actually pull that sort of information out. It'd be ideal if you could do Hubble and other things, or you do the Hubble Space Telescope and all that sort of thing. That's possibly available. So where can we do it to bring it within the community of as a tool that people can use? Now, there's sort of two strategies. One is that something that you can actually give kindergarten kids to do. It's simple enough that if it's on the computers for kindergarten kids, it's got this amazing aspect to it. It's something that's got an access for very young, and it's something that really all kids should have on their own computers. So really, I just want to talk about setting a homework where you say, basically, go and download this application and do this sort of thing and actually bring it in, and trying to have a family thing that it's inbuilt into the family, that, you know, pick a place where you want to take your mum, you take your dad, take your sister, make a space adventure involving your family. So it's sort of a piece of homework to build that up. That would be an ideal place. The actual idea is not using the school infrastructure and politics to do something, but to actually get around that by doing it. Now, of course, if for every step you do that, you're burning up time for being assessed. You're assessed on how you're teaching, how are you reaching those goals. So every time you do this, you lose a bit of traction to move forward. But look, that's my situation. Your situation can be different. You can do this. And so let's go through the steps of it. I'm proposing that you have a Celestia project which is embedded in the student's life, in their family, in a certain functional way. And you can actually say, look, I want you to get this program and work out a way to embed it in your family in a certain way that it's meaningful for you. Now, look, what I want to say is that Celestia and Google Sky can be actually slaved to your Celestron telescope. So you can see something in Celestia and click on it, the coordinates can be actually read through, and your Celestron telescope can slave, work out what the time is, and actually slave and actually go to the actual image of it. It's the most incredible way that they've actually put it together. So let's go ahead. I'm saying at the moment I've assumed that you haven't downloaded Celestia and haven't got a view of it. Should you download Celestia? Do I expect you to? Well, the bottom line is yes, I do. There's certain things that I'm only a person out there in podcast land, but look, I expect you to have downloaded and operated the following: at least Google Earth, at least that in three-dimensional, and at least Celestia. I expect you to have done that. But I don't expect you to do it now. I expect you to eventually do it. Then once you've done it, and I've assumed that you've done it, okay, so it's podcast intellectual brain, I think you have done it. And then the next step I want to say is learn from my experience. It's almost impossible to get cooperation with a system which doesn't understand the advanced excitement of robotics and astronomy. There's just the lack of understanding of it, because there's a belief that the idea is in a textbook, and in the textbook is reproduced, and there's an award ceremony, and there's a thing, and there's a students go on and they become alumni and they're really printing for the school and they're like fairy godmothers. They come back and encourage. There's the entire world here. So there's this fundamental lack of understanding that you could actually understand science and bring it in. So tactic number one is to actually avoid this completely and just embed it in the schools, this student's environment. Because we are living in a new age where people routinely download apps to do all sorts of fun things. I mean, I think people have downloaded the Elf Me app where they take a photograph of their face and it's their faces on elves and stuff like that. So this is great knowledge and great opportunity, and people can actually go to a high-level thing. You can actually give them a creative task to do and invent something which is worthwhile. And, you know, ideally I'd like to put it forward. There's another aspect to Celestia which is just absolutely essential. So if there's this thing where I can take a image and put the image or the information at a distance and make Celestia equivalent to a book where I photograph a bit of it and I write text about it. There's other things you can do. So you can go, say, to Alpha Centauri. So Alpha Centauri is a binary star. You can show the orbits and you can speed the orbits up. So you can see these two things orbiting an ellipse thing. It actually does your head into it to watch some of these things. Or go to a neutron star. It's getting better all the time. But you could go to these places. And what you can do is you can go Control-C. So you're not copying text. You're not copying an image. You're copying the complete computer configuration of the image that you're looking at. And you can write a document, blah, 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 and do a hyperlink to, say, a sped up, so you can say sped up binary star Alpha Centauri, and then you can hyperlink Celestia there, so it'll be Celestia double colon whatever blah 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 with the whole URL address, and what will happen is that Celestia will actually read through, your browser will read through, launch Celestia, and actually set up the screen as you've seen it. And so what you can do is that you can actually create a game where people go to various things, problem solve. Not you yourself, but the students themselves. They can start to communicate themselves but by using the Celestia as a component inside the cell. So if you can imagine Celestia as an outside the cell. When I talk about cell, I've got this image, an intellectual image of outside the cell, and you want to actually bring not only the knowledge, but the knowledge processing engines to the inside so they can actually interact with themselves and with you, and so they can actually talk at a very high level. So rather than saying, this is a picture of a binary system and you have to do the processing for it, you can say, click this link and these are the features of a binary system. So what I'm really talking about, and look, I'll surge forward to it, and look, there's all this technology which I'll gradually get out there. So I've learned a little bit of the techniques, and what's happening is that I've learned things which do and don't work, and the reason for it. Now, the reasons are slightly different from the academic achievement reasons. The reasons is the binding with the family, the binding within the group, the moving of the technology, it's processing from a resource gathering thing to a communication. The knowledge is actually part of the real transaction. So these are the things that I'm saying. And then if we can add on to this, the podcasting technology that I can now, it's something that I could write a document to, but very few people read it. I'd do a YouTube. People would want to either use the YouTube to actually physically copy what's going on or find some information out. They're not using YouTube to listen to an argument or listen to an insight. And this is because YouTubes and these other things are so rich in information. They've got so much rich in information, and so they invite you to put your brain into a certain different sort of gear to actually absorb as much information as possible. One of the things that a podcast does is it's a voice in the wilderness, and you have to listen to that voice, and the voice is like reading line by line. And so I sort of see it. So I've got all these mental images of cells, interactions and stuff like that, but I've got mental images of the way information is presented. So you've got the broad information presentation, and you have to use that for certain areas. But there's another way, another view of presenting information as a linear story, where you don't necessarily have the interaction and you don't have the branching. And there are certain times when that is beautiful, that it can go from A to B, a journey from it. And there's this respect that you listen to my journey, and I will also listen to your journey. And to take on that journey, you have to actually gather resources together to build that journey so it's available to be understood. So in this case, I've built the resources of an automatic podcasting process and linked it to so many other things. So this is sort of a shell within a shell. So I hope this makes sense, and I really hope this gives the incentive and the idea behind what I'm going to teach. And also another thing is, this is an innovation, a creativity which is outside the box of creativity which is defined by the manifest of people going through. Now, in the teaching system, you can say, well, look, I just run it, so this is not fair. You know, if you come up with an idea outside my list of things where the teaching goes this particular way. But the amazing thing is that if you as a teacher have another attitude, that, you know, creativity is on the table, and I will extend myself to acknowledge and understand any creativity that you have, and actually move around to actually bring the outcome. Is fantastic. The outcome of learning is fantastic. And if you come creatively from another direction, I'm not going to say, that's not right. So this is really talking about creatively approaching this in a new way. And the idea of looking creatively in a new way is really the hub of expansive and exciting teaching. That's all I have to say. Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.